Welcome to CUTV News Radio, where our hosts Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters talk to today's top thinkers from all around the world to bring you information, inspiration, and thought-provoking ideas that you can put to use in your personal or professional life right now. Covering a broad range of topics, we dig deep to discover what makes today's top thinkers tick. CUTV News Radio, it's the show where ideas matter. And now, here's today's host, Doug Llewellyn.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome back. We're going to dig deep again today. We're welcoming back Christine Rose again. She's doing a series of broadcasts with us. I hope you've heard her before. If you haven't, you're gonna love Christine. She's great. She's an outstanding coach. She's an author with a great book that's going to be coming out shortly. She's also a speaker and really a big catalyst for women. Her story is amazing. She rose above an abusive childhood to establish a career in business and later on a very successful coaching practice. And today, just to give some of her credit, she's an official member of the Forbes Coaches Council. She is an ICF Associate Certified Business and Executive Coach. She's also a Taylor Protocols Certified Coach. These are great, great credits, and they help her get to know her clients and get her clients to know themselves and help grow their teams, profits, and companies. And in addition to that, Christine is well regarded as a speaker and an author who brings really tremendous insight and wisdom into each subject that she tackles. She speaks on the subject of growing small businesses a lot. She's very passionate about that and passionate about women and their rights, their intellect, and their talents. And also, she helps to empower women to reach their fullest potential. She does a lot of things, and she's really good at it. So it's a pleasure to have her back with us again. As I pointed out, she has a book. We've been talking about this forthcoming book, and I was just looking at pictures of it. You can find them if you go on and connect to her website through Facebook. Christine, good morning. Christine is, by the way, based out in the Seattle area, where it's a beautiful day today. Sunny in the mid-80s. That's perfect for Seattle, isn't it? Doesn't get any better than that, does it?
Hi, Doug. It's great to be with you. It's gorgeous out here in Seattle, and y'all come visit. And I would love to say hello to the listeners too, wherever you are, and wish you a beautiful day.
Well, good. That's great. Thank you so much. We'll all love that. Especially folks where it's stifling hot, you know, and it's 100 degrees, and there are many places like that around the country today, but it's not in Seattle, so you're a lucky lady today. Christine, we talked with you many times. You know, I was using your connection on your website, but your website, by the way, is really great. It's christinerose.coach. Go there, christinerose.coach, but there is a connection where you can look on Facebook and see actually information about your book, and you see pictures of the book and stories about it. So I think that's really Life Beyond Me Too, which is what the title of the book is. Fascinating, let's see, global transformation. That's what it is. So tell us, by the way, what's the latest on the book? It's you're still in the final editing of it, is that right?
Yeah, Doug, thank you. Yeah, so for people who really are not about business coaching and they don't need that, they can actually go right to the Facebook page, Life Beyond Me Too. And It is in the final editing stages. I am working with my editor to try to get it done as soon as possible. So, you know, you write a book and then they say, cut it down. So the working title is Life Beyond Me Too. They said, I need to change the subtitle. It's a little too academic. They said we need to go with something more friendly. So the final title is to be announced, but Life Beyond Me Too is sticking. So yes, you can find out more on the Facebook page. That's where you go to find a pre-order link that's coming up soon. And that's where the information is about the book as we get closer to launching it.
Well, you know, I think it's kind of appropriate. As I understand it, your book has a chapter entitled Powerful Nonviolence. Boy, when you talk about nonviolence, what's gone on around the country this weekend has not been beautiful. It's been anything but. It's been pretty tragic. Anyway, it's an interesting topic to bring up, powerful nonviolence. Who is that intended for when you were writing it? What's it intended for? What do you think can be done to reduce and eliminate discrimination, harassment, either way is okay, the way you want to say it, harassment, and violence against women? That's really what it's all about, powerful nonviolence to kind of reduce and eliminate violence against women. Let's talk about that, because that's a really valid subject, okay?
Doug, my heart goes out to the families and the loved ones in El Paso and Dayton, you know, everywhere where people are motivated by contempt to hurt other people. And violence has such a spectrum. And in the Me Too, movement, when we watch these millions of stories come out from women and some men as well, and whether you had a story or not, we got to see other people's stories. So I have heard from many people about the impact of violence in their lives and the traumatic stories that have come out. So this chapter is for those people who've got loved ones that they care about that were victims of harassment or violence. Also for themselves, but it's really for the community around those people who were victims. And, they had to hear these stories sometimes for the first time. There was a lot of sadness and anger and sometimes a sense of helplessness. They're not sure how to support their loved ones. They also are kind of getting tired of hearing about how bad men are. Some of them are, because they're good people with good hearts. They've spent their whole lives behaving with other people's best interests in mind. There was a hashtag not all men that came about in response to, violence that was perpetrated against women in California. And, people can relate to that. After Me Too, there was a writer in Sydney, Australia, Benjamin Law, and he wrote, "Guys, it's our turn after yesterday's endless Me Too stories of women being abused, assaulted, and harassed. Today, we say hashtag how will I change?" So he was kind of on the forefront of let's talk about how do we support equality, how do we support safety and nonviolence in the world. And there was a hashtag in 2014 started by United Nations Global Solidarity Movement for Gender Equity. And there are over 2 million people that have committed to that turning point where people are understanding, hey, let me support this idea of this is not a woman's issue. This is human rights. This is let's just create a world that's safer for everyone. And let's create a world where we're not going to tolerate violence anymore.
Good for you. Yeah. Well, the chapter, which, as I pointed out, is entitled Powerful Nonviolence, is this what you deal with? Do you have some great points that you talk about? And we're not going to get you to divulge everything in the book. Then that would be silly. But that's what you're focusing on, right?
Right. This chapter is let's respond to culture in a new way and in a powerful way. Sometimes people think that, hey, getting whether it's your assault rifle or whether it's, how you respond in a situation with women, if you're operating from a place of nonviolence, you are not going to hurt anyone. Intentionally, and you're going to go out of your way not to hurt people. So that's what this chapter is about. Let's just take a look at what's really happening and how to create momentum for change in the culture.
Statistics indicate that males perpetrate violence far more often than women do. What do you think makes a man more likely to be violent against a woman than not? Why is that? Any ideas? Do you have any perspective on that?
The book really looks into culture and how it feeds thoughts and what beliefs that we have you know, whether we're male or female. And unfortunately, you know, even in the shootings, if you look at the pictures of the people doing shootings, you know, they were guys. And so culture has a part to play, you know, and it's kind of like if you're in the bathtub, you soak up the flavor of the water, right? So it's partly about that. And it's partly about the support for boys as they're being raised. Unfortunately, out of victims of rape and assault, 9 of 10 are female, and 8 out of 10 cases of rape, the victim knew the perpetrator. Men are more likely to experience violence if they've got a low education level, if they have a history of maltreatment as a child, if they were exposed to domestic violence against their mothers or against other people, when there are gender norms that don't favor equality, but they accept violence instead, or a sense of entitlement over women or over other people, that increases your risk of perpetrating violence. And also, use of alcohol and substances increases your risk of being a person that perpetrates violence against other people. Right now, according to the Global Health Organization, the World Health Organization, out of the 3.8 billion females on the earth, a third of them, over 1.25 billion, are or will be victims of violence perpetrated largely by males. So, and wow. Most of the time it's people that we know. So it's brothers, uncles, fathers, classmates, coworkers, guys that join us at sporting events, the local watering hole, the golf course. It's people in our life. It's people that we know. And then, you know, we know those factors that we were just talking about that increase your likelihood to perpetrate violence, but it's partly the culture that we're soaked in too, Doug.
Wow, that's pretty interesting. They're very interesting statistics, to say the least. You know, there's a term, old normal. What part does denial play in the continuation of what we refer to as the old normal? And describe the old normal. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, Doug, so for people who are just catching this one, you might want to go back to some of the other episodes in this series. In the book, we look at a model of transition that there's a transformation point, or there's a point of change. And if we think about Me Too as the hashtag Me Too firestorm as being one point of change, because it was unique in social media events in terms of its engagement in the world, and it's still bringing engagement in countries. If we think about that as a transformational event and we think about the rule set before that transformation event and a rule set that we would create after that event to change culture, we call that old normal rule set, like what preceded this event. And this is a change model, so it's just my way of saying, what if we looked at everything that happened before hashtag Me Too, and we just call that old normal. And what if this transformational event, this global outpouring of stories that open people's eyes to, hey, this violence is really commonplace. It's, you know, our stories we've been telling ourselves that it's exceptional, is that just we can't believe that story anymore. It's so common. So what if we want to use this as a transformation moment and we can create a new normal? So that's what I refer to as old normal. And, you know, that's the, you know, kind of the part of denial. If, you know, if we don't recognize that, hey, these cries, these heart cries of stories that came out in the Me Too social media really kind of tore away the curtain. We can't be blind to the fact that that this stuff really happens. And, you know, interesting, in doing research for the book, Doug, I was really surprised to read that there was a study that in this study, a majority of self-confessed rapists who actually were convicted of rape
and that's what they did. And they were in jail, convicted of rape, and the majority of them didn't actually believe that when they sexually assaulted someone, it was sexual assault. They didn't believe that's what they did, and
really?
They don't believe that they're the problem. And whether it's harassment, silence, looking the other way, there's a cultural tolerance for these things and a hidden dynamic of denial by the person who does these things. And there's a silence, like a complicity of silence, that's just saying, you know, we can just stay in denial about this. It's really not that bad. And so that perpetrates the problem.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, you are a highly qualified coach. Let me ask you, from your perspective, how can coaching reach through old normal and pull people into new normal and powerful nonviolence? How would you answer that? What more can help people shift the mindset if nonviolence, you know, integrity and action?
That's a great question. Doug, you know, one of the things that I learned, which made me decide to study coaching, is that it is an incredibly powerful tool to create change and to accelerate change. Because in coaching relationships, you go into a judgment-free zone. You go into a very safe relationship with somebody that's very trusting. And so you can trust them. And so when you hire a coach, you hire somebody who is listening to you at the deepest level and not in a place of they're trying to find fault with you or judge you in any way. So what you have in coaching is this freedom to hear your own thoughts and your own self and to recognize this inner wisdom that we all have, this innate strength that we have, this ability to understand in ourselves what strengths that we own that allow us to be our best. And in a coaching relationship, you have a time to reset and to shift your mindset and to shift your behavior and to start acting in a new way to reach new goals. You start to recognize the power of choice in a really wonderful way. And so when we step back from belief systems that are not honoring who we are at our best and not helping us see the power in our choices, we make choices blindly and oftentimes choices that harm other people.
Those are some interesting thoughts. Very interesting. And you talk about the coaching aspect. We really haven't, you know, we've been talking a lot about your book and the points that are in the book. By the way, as I mentioned at the outset, if you go on the website, there are connections there that bring up information about the book. I can only tell people that this is going to be a really great book, Life Beyond Me Too. And that's kind of the title. You're not going to change that. Am I right? It says the subtitle you're
working on. No, that is not changing. That's right.
Yeah.
Yes, you are totally right.
But let me ask you a business about your coaching practice. We haven't talked about your coaching practice recently, and just let me ask you, you have developed and have worked hard to become such a highly credible coach. I mean, you've really worked at it. As I pointed out, you're a member of the Forbes Coaches Council. You're an ICF Associate Certified Business and Executive Coach, and you're also a Taylor Protocol Certified Coach. Those are great credits. Some people may not understand exactly what they mean. So let me ask you point blank, what does it mean to be a Taylor Protocol Certified Coach, and why is that so important?
Oh, you know, it's interesting that you asked that question, because when you think about knowing yourself at the deepest level and understanding yourself and making choices
that help you to align your life with who you are at the core. That's what the Taylor Protocol's Core Values Index Assessment does. And that's how we use it in coaching. And so it is actually, you can go to the website, christinerose.coach, and you can click on take the free CVI. It's on the resources page. I think it also, there's a reference to it on the kind of a, the About Christine or Meet Me page too. But you can take that assessment, and it helps you know who you are. And what, honestly, Doug, when I took it for the first time in 2005, I think, I had taken all sorts of different assessments in my life and in my career, but I was amazed at how accurate this was and how much it really helped me understand myself and what my strengths are and what motivates me to do things. And it just, I felt like there was somebody following me around. I was really amazed, like, how could they get me so clearly? And I have taken it 3 times since then and gotten exactly the same thing every time. So there's a reliability to it. It's got over 97% repeat score reliability. So it helps the person to know themselves at the deepest level. And you get outside of culture, and you get outside of kind of that what's going on around you for a minute, and you focus in on who you are and what your choices are and how you can become your best self and have your best future. I think it's a really useful tool.
Well, you use that as a to help yourself as a coach. Do you use that on individuals when you're coaching them? Is this something that is also applied to your clients' perspective?
Yes, Doug. So the reason why I got certified to use this assessment is to help my clients, and they are generally business owners, a lot of women, some men too, business owners and entrepreneurial women, sometimes solopreneurs. And they use the assessment to know themselves and their strengths, so then they know how to build a team around them that is going to really provide excellent service to their clients, and so that they won't be missing any pieces there and everything they need to offer their clients. I also use it to do team coaching with businesses. So if they've got a team that's coming together, and, you know, whether they're working in the same place or they are remote all over the world, we will get together online and we will do a team coaching where they all achieve this assessment, attain that result for themselves. And then we help them understand, you know, here is how the people in your team are wired to contribute, to handle conflict, to learn, and, you know, how to communicate, and how different we all are and how unique we are. And so you now understand, oh, this person in my team, they just don't see things the way I see things. You know, it's not that they're ignorant. It's just that we come from a completely different place. And so it helps you see the value in every person that you're working with. And also my clients use it to hire the right people for their jobs. For example, I have a client who had been replacing somebody in the same job year after year after year. She couldn't find the right person to fill that role. And we use the Core Values Index Assessment as an employment screening tool and as a tool to help us write the job description so that it would be the right person that she was attracting and that she would hire the right person for the job. And she said, this is the best employee she's ever hired in almost 30 years of business. So we use it for that too.
So it really worked. It worked well. Give me an idea of the kinds of companies and people you work with as a coach. You're talking to organizations that bring you in to help them. Is that right?
Yes, Doug. They're anywhere from a startup to $35 million in revenue,
generally. So I'm not working with the Fortune 100 companies generally, although I certainly would be happy to talk with them, especially if they wanted to bring in somebody about how do we create a safer culture or a culture that is diverse for everyone. But for the most part, my clients are small business owners. And like I said, many of them are women. So I don't work exclusively with women, but many of them are women. And they seek me out because they are wanting to grow their companies. So our focus is on stepping out of the business for a minute to work on the business, because a lot of times they are so busy with just trying to manage the day-to-day of their business and their life. They just haven't taken that time to really get out and get strategic, to know themselves, to really see what's happening with their company. So we also do, in addition to that individual assessment, we also assess everything that's going on in their company, from who's on their team, who's on their staff, and what work they're doing and how it's assigned. We look at their product and service mix, what's profitable and what's less profitable, and what tweaks can they make really to just increase their profitability. We look at their marketing plan. If they don't have a business plan or a marketing plan, we put that together. We look at We look at their strategic plan for the future. So how are they going to grow and scale? Sometimes they want to add new locations, or they're thinking about franchising, or they're thinking about, you know, they've got a new product idea and they need to figure out what to do for funding. So look at all the and help them scale up and reach their goals. What we do.
Well, you faded out there for a moment, but it sounds like you do a pretty complete assessment of the whole company and its operations when you go in to work with an organization. That's a big job. That takes a lot of work and a lot of effort, and you have to obviously be very knowledgeable in what you're doing. So I give you a lot of credit for that. You love what you're doing. I know you started out, you weren't going to be a coach in the very beginning of your career, but now you are. You're focusing very heavily on it. Do you like this aspect of what you do?
Oh, Doug, the reason why I'm doing this is because I love it. I love to see people just really see and reach their potential, and I love to see organizations thrive. And, you know, businesses, especially I love small business owners, and I love to work with small businesses because this is the heart of our economy. This is the backbone of who we are, you know, kind of who we are as a country. And it is just so rewarding to watch these businesses thrive and grow and watch them be able to, you know, hire more women and put them in positions of authority as they're growing. And it's really fun to watch them create wonderful, safe cultures for their teams and to create value for their clients. So I love it. To me, this doesn't feel like work. It's just, I love it.
Well, it's very obvious just listening to the way you talk that you love what you're doing. So that's great. Anyway, it's good to talk to you, Christine. I love our chats with you. You'll be back again next week, same time. Our guest has been Christine Rose. Her website is christinerose.coach. If you go there, you'll learn, you know, about what Christine does. You'll learn about the forthcoming book she has coming out. And you can join us again next week when she'll be a guest back here on CUTV News Radio. So, Christine, thanks for being with us. It's been great chatting with you again. And have a beautiful day, okay?
Thank you, Doug. And you as well. And thank you to your list. And wish you
okie dokes.
Okay. Take care.
Thank you. All right, that's it. Her phone fading out a little bit, but anyway, we heard her. So thanks, Christine.
You've been listening to CUTV News Radio. If you want to learn more about our programming or perhaps be considered for a future show, visit us on the web at www.cutvnews.com. And if you enjoyed listening to today's show, subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or Stitcher, and be sure to write a review. Thanks for listening, and from all of us at CUTV News Radio, we hope you have a productive and inspired day.
Yeah, have a great day, everybody. I'm Doug Llewellyn. I'll see you next time. Until then, take care of yourself. Bye for now.